Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's Monday, May 9th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, a little bit of pressure on gold and silver today, the precious metals sector overall. And we had gold currently down in the New York spot, down 24.90 at 1263.80. You have silver down 49 at 17.05. Platinum is down 38 at 1045. Palladium is down 25 at $586. The USDX today was trading just slightly higher, 0.34 at 94.17, but pressure on crude oil down 130 at 43.36. And the paper markets today didn't do much. They were up in early morning trade, but they reversed themselves. The last time I saw the Dow was down. Let's bring this up here real quick. And we have the Dow. None of my computers are really quick anymore. Down 34. The Dow down 34 at 17,705. The NASDAQ is down, is up 14 at 4750. The S&P was up 155. That's 1.55 at 2058. 10-year yield 1.76% down 0.2. And the euro is at 1.14 down 0.22. European markets, and I guess China was down once again. And, you know, perhaps our commodity sector had a little bit of a hangover from China. Chinese commodities, they took a dive today, led by a 6% fall in steel, iron ore futures, you know, with deepening worries that China's demand is not as resilient as they once thought a month ago. So you had a lot of speculative funds going into these Chinese commodities last month, betting that the economy was bottoming. And, of course, doesn't seem to be the case. And so their commodity sector dived a lot. So we could have just had a little bit of a hangover from that. I think we saw that in the platinum and palladium segments, with palladium being down over 4%. And so we'll have to see what tomorrow brings for gold and silver. You know, lots of times you get these big hits on a sector and you'll have pressure on all of them. Platinum was down 3.5%, with palladium down 4%, a little over 4%. So.
Then there is no coherent theory at the moment as to why the precious metals took a significant hit today. And it's interesting to me, I looked and I saw that, about half of the down, there's $25 down, about half of that occurred in foreign markets overnight before American markets opened up.
Well,
that surprises me.
It doesn't surprise me, because lots of times it's higher in foreign markets down here, and that would reflect a little more if it was a hangover from China. In our markets, you're going to have our, pundits writing about that. The gold was lower today, pressured by profit taking from the recent gains. Maybe not. Maybe it's a combination of everything.
Still, it's
but
a big jump.
One day. A big drop, yeah.
Without obvious explanation, we can speculate about it, but there's no obvious explanation as to what happened. And it didn't just happen to gold. Gold was the least, on a percentage basis, it was the least down compared to silver, platinum, and palladium.
Well, as I said, I think it was a hangover from China. And so there are indications that it does show why gold was down. There's lots of times you can have these kinds of days where there's absolutely no reason whatsoever, but we do have a few. So, you put them all together. And again, when you can have a sector, you can have the mining sector, you can have, all kinds of pharmaceutical sector, whatever, you can have a few that really takes a big hit and it'll affect the whole thing. And I think this is pretty much what we're seeing today. As I said, we'll have to see what tomorrow brings. To see if this is a one-day wonder, to see if we can pull back some of the losses that we've taken today. But the key of it is, long-term fundamentals for gold. We certainly, $25 savings in gold today and 50 cents or 49 cents for silver. So we're going to have the ups and we're going to have the downs. We're going to have big swings either direction. It's just part of the beast.
But over the next several years, we will presumably have more ups than downs.
Oh, absolutely. Already listening to some of an interview, I'm not quite sure when the interview was taken with Donald Trump. He's already talking about negotiating our debt with higher rates. So, Katie, bar the door, because hang on to your hats and buckle up, because, if these things come to pass, which eventually they will, but sooner than later, gold will skyrocket and the markets will fall apart.
I think Trump I don't think he understands what he's doing relative to the debt. All right, that's easy for me to say, and Trump, of course, billionaire and blah, blah, blah. You would think he would understand this. But I don't think he really understands what he's getting into here. And he doesn't understand the trap that debt has created. And we're not going to be able to, we're not going to get out of that trap without chewing our arm or our foot off. We're going to have to behave like a wolf or a raccoon caught in a trap, and we're going to have to chew one of our extremities off in order to get out of the trap. It's not going to be easy, fun, and it won't be without consequence. And Trump seems to think he can solve that problem. And I am going to be much amazed if he can. I think it's too big a problem for anyone to solve. It's been made for years and decades. It's been building, and there's not going to be an easy solution.
Well, this isn't a real estate deal. We are worth $1 billion or less. Now, I don't think anybody grasps, you had the unfunded liabilities and that $200 trillion is actually increasing by numbers that are being released by the government. So, you're $200 trillion. Okay, yeah, I agree with you. And I'm not so sure anybody truly grasps the size.
It's not just a question of
size. And the globalization, and the whole globalization attached.
I think the thing about Trump is he actually thinks he can solve this thing. All right? Yeah, I don't think he understands there are some problems that cannot be resolved. They just have to be allowed to. I mean, it's like a bomb with a very short fuse. Don't try to pull the fuse out of the bomb. Just take or make a run for it. Get over the hill, hide behind something. Trump seems to behave, he gives me the impression he thinks he's, there's no problem, there's just pull the fuse. I don't think so. I think this thing's going to blow up one way or another, and when it does, anyone who's close to it is going to be a bad hair day for him, for sure. And Trump can't afford a bad hair day, Melody. He's had all the bad hair days that he wants in his life, and he doesn't want another one.
If I had to look at a positive with Trump being in there, is if this begins to unfold and unwind, I think that he would be in a position to perhaps deal with certain circumstances, maybe with a better understanding than some.
I agree with
But that. Again, it's not going to be fixing the problem. It's going to be addressing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The crisis. The
scenario. I agree. I think he can deal with it as pragmatically as anyone. Because I think he's just going to say, okay, here's what's really going on here. And here's what we got to do because it's the only choice we have.
Well, I don't think anybody can buffalo him. Now, does he have the power through the Fed? And, you know, will the Fed agree? Will, you know, Congress, you know, those are other things that we don't know. But there's no one that can fix the problem. It's just a matter of who can,
No one can eliminate the problem. Nobody can fix it. Nobody can eliminate it. We're going to go through a situation where the debt is going to be repudiated to a substantial degree.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the problem because all of that debt, again, one man's debt's another man's assets. You wipe out that debt, you wipe out a correlative amount of paper assets. It means people holding pieces of paper that they're storing their wealth on pieces of paper that's got somebody's signature on it. And they think they're wealthy because they've got that piece of paper. A large number, almost, I can't imagine it's not at least 50%, and maybe 80, 90% of those paper debt instruments are going to turn out to be worthless.
And the problem is, and there's no place for anybody to go.
No.
You can't move your money offshore. You can't move it anyplace else because this is so... It's just so interrelated with everything. It's not just the U.S. It's the world. There isn't anybody in a better shape than, you know, maybe China. But, you know, let me finish. You can read into other reports of saying they're not any better. I don't know of any country that would be any better.
No, I don't think
of any size that makes a difference. And so when we go, and we've been saying this for years and years and years and years, when we go, the world's going to go. And there's no place for anybody to protect. There's no place that you could protect your money. If you want to hold on to paper, great. But, you know, the only place that I see, that I understand, and it's not just because I sell it, because I couldn't sell it if I didn't believe in it or understand it, is gold and silver. Because people will run to gold and silver as a true safe haven. And it really is as simple as that.
Yeah, it's the only thing that's standing between the gold and the people at the moment is the perception that the dollar has a value and that the dollar itself is a safe haven. But even that presumption is unwarranted. It's commonplace, and everybody seems to think that, but it's really not warranted. And sooner or later, you know, I mean, anyone who listens to the program, you can hear the commercial. The dollar's lost over 90% of its, or 95% of its purchasing power, and since 1971, as compared to gold, right? Again, it's lost 95% in the last 45 years or thereabouts. What does that mean? Well, it gives you pretty good indication that it's going to lose 96% and then 97% and then 98 and 99. And finally you're going to get to a point where the dollar and people are going to wake up and say, oh my gosh, the dollar is worthless. Who would have thought that was possible? Well, when we have that moment, That's when people will say the dollar is not a safe haven. What a surprise. This is shocking. I'm shocked, I tell you, shocked. And then they'll come crashing into gold and silver. Then we'll see some real, we will see some real price increases. So, I don't know, you can look at it and it seems inevitable. The only thing we don't understand clearly is when is it going to happen. But every day it seems like it's getting closer. I see nothing. You know, they had that clock that indicated how close or distant we were to World War III. And they carry, and that clock was around, I think, from sometime after World War II. I don't know when it was created, but it was up where we were 5 minutes to midnight. That's when we'd have World War III, or four, or three, or two, and something we'd back off. And it was always fairly close. It's the same thing. We should have a clock like that right now to indicate how close we are to some sort of a monetary crisis that is going to be astonishing and mind-boggling. And at the, when the crisis arrives, people are going to be shocked and hurt and blah, blah, blah. But the clock, if you can think in terms of if there had been a clock, we've been getting closer and closer and closer and closer to that midnight mark. And I haven't seen anything to speak of that's given us reason to think that the minute hand is backing off and going away. It's at 2 minutes and it backs off to three and four and five, you know, before it gets to the midnight mark. It just keeps on getting closer and closer and closer. Do we see any evidence? Is there a silver lining somewhere around here? Things are going to get better. Does anyone in the audience? Do you see it, Melody? Does anyone in the audience see it? You know, cause for optimism, where we can simply exist. Yay, we've got this under control. I don't think so. I think the only thing we have to be optimistic about, if there's anything at all, is that the people in positions of power may be able to kick this can a little further down the road and buy a little more time before the whole thing blows up in everybody's face. And that's what we're doing right now. We're just buying time and buying time, and who knows? I can't blame them. You know, if you had to choose between having a bomb go off tonight and a bomb go off a month from now, I'll take a month from now. You know, give us a month. Who knows? Maybe we can stop the bomb from coming here.
Or we can
now,
make,
but maybe, but
or we can make
buying
more,
time is human nature.
Or we can make more money off those that are, you know. So it's all about making money, Al. Mm-hmm. It's all about, you know, stripping the rest of the U.S. And every other nation on the, you know, in the world to, you know, whatever they can get, they will get. And
the only good thing about it is when they do get it, the truth of the matter is they will deserve it. All of us will. Because we have been foolish and ignorant, and we have insisted on being entertained rather than educated. And as a result, we're coming to a moment when everybody's going to say, oh, shucks, this isn't that much fun. But it's not as if we will be the innocent victims. There are people who know what's happening. They've exploited people's ignorance. They are wrong, wicked, whatever. But there's plenty of other people running around in a majority, and they don't mind being ignorant. And as long as that's true, they can't really complain if they are victimized by what may be headed our way. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll take a break and be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Got an article from Business Insider. We were talking about debt in the first segment of the program. Here's an article from Business Insider, and the headline is U.S. commercial bankruptcies are skyrocketing. What's that got to do with debt? Well, it means a bunch of corporations aren't going to pay their bills. And the number is growing, which means that some percentage, now this is presumably small potatoes compared to the national debt. This doesn't have, this is a drop in the bucket compared to the national debt, but still, it's evidence that people are getting into a situation, at least businesses, corporations are getting into a circumstance where they are going to be unable to pay their debts, which means people that are holding their bonds and their stocks are going to find themselves suddenly devoid of whatever they invested. That's going to be gone, which is the kind of thing we've been warning you about on this program for years. We're going to reach that moment when people have to admit, oops, we can't pay the debt. And the people that are holding the correlative debt instruments as stocks or bonds, they're going to find out that their wealth that they put in that piece of paper is wiped out. Here's some of the text from the article. It says, one of the big indicators of the end of the credit cycle is the number of bankruptcies. During good times, earlier in the credit cycle, companies borrow money. Then, overconfident and lured by low interest rates and over-optimistic rosy scenario rhetoric emanating from all sides, they do what the Fed and Wall Street firms want them to do. They borrow even more money. Then reality sets in, and they buckle under this pile of debt. The bankruptcy filings of Ultra Petroleum and Mid States Petroleum on Friday and Saturday
brought gas and oil bankruptcies of companies rated by Fitch and other rating agencies to 59. These two companies compiled a $3.1 billion in defaulted junk bonds and another $1.5 billion in defaulted loans on top of the growing mountain of defaulted oil and gas debt. There's between the two of them, there's $4.6 billion in debt that's not going to be paid, which means there's $4.6 billion worth of bonds some people are holding on to, and they're saying, ha, 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 I am rich. And reality is saying, uh-uh, no, you're not. The article continues. It says, with these two bankruptcies, Fitch Ratings raised its high-yield energy default rate to an all-time record of 13%, all-time record, okay? And now projects that by the end of 2016, the default rate will jump to an even more glorious record of 20%. This presumably means that 20% of the people in the, it doesn't say specifically, but I believe they're talking about just oil and gas for this 13 and 20%. And then it goes on, it says, it's not just oil and gas. It's not just companies whose bonds and loans are traded and are rated by Fitch and other rating agencies. These are the larger outfits, big enough to have bondholders and big enough to, for the financial media to report. But bankruptcies of all kinds and all sizes and in a wide variety of sectors are now soaring. Total U.S. commercial bankruptcy filings in April arose by 3% from March and soared 32% from a year ago to 3,482. That's on a monthly basis. The American Bankruptcy Institute, that's a report from the American Bankruptcy Institute. It was the sixth month in a row of year-over-year increases. That tells us that we're not just looking at a little blip on the radar right now or an anomaly. You know, 6 months isn't a year. It's not, you know, it isn't necessarily a trend, but it certainly looks like that, and it's growing. Bankruptcies, more bankruptcies, more bankruptcies, more bankruptcies. Of these commercial bankruptcies in April, 680 were in Chapter 11, up 67% year over year. The rest were liquidations. And the pace is quickening in just 1 month. From 450 in March, Chapter 11 filings have skyrocketed by 51%. That's in 1 month from March to April. The American Bankruptcy Institute pointed at distress in a number of sectors, including energy and retail. Now, energy is no surprise. You've got the fracking industry is on its, you know, they're in trouble because the price of crude oil has dropped to where it's just barely profitable right now for the fracking end of the oil producing industry. They could get by on this, but they've had a difficult time. The broadening scope of this wave of bankruptcies is a strong indicator that the credit cycle has ended, that the credit bubble created by the Federal Reserve to reflate the collapsed prior credit bubble is now also deflating. In other words, in order to support the bubble economy, the Fed used quantitative easing and pumped a bunch of money into the economy, or a bunch of currency into the economy, to try to increase inflation and make things move faster and try to speed things up and give us a stronger economy. But all they succeeded in doing was creating a brand new bubble. Not a recovery, a bubble. All right? And what they're saying here is that the credit bubble created by the Fed to reflate the collapsed prior credit bubbles is now also deflating. But this time, the Fed, after incessantly flip-flopping, still has interest rates pegged at near zero. The way I read that is, insofar as the interest rates are still pegged at near zero, in theory, the interest rates should be to the advantage of the corporations. Low interest rates should serve them. It should diminish the total amount that they have to pay off on their debts. And even with that advantage, the number of bankruptcies is growing, and from You know, and they're soaring, a term they used in this article, if we can believe this article, it's they're soaring, which is, what's the problem with, why are they going bankrupt? Because they borrowed money that they are no longer able to repay. Right? They anticipated that we would have a stronger economy than we do. They thought their own business would be better than it is. Now they're caught in a bind and they can't pay their debts, and therefore they are filing for bankruptcy. This is the kind of thing in a microcosm. All right, this is a small example of what I think we can expect to see in the foreseeable future on a larger scale, where a lot of companies go bankrupt. And when they do, they not only wipe out the debt, they wipe out the correlative paper debt instruments that people are holding as wealth. They become valueless. And then we lose paper wealth, right? We think of it as wealth, it's just paper. But still, we have used the paper wealth to store whatever we've earned with hard work or dumb luck. Got a certain amount of wealth, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it into stocks. Or no, I'll put it into bonds. But every single time I'm putting it into paper. And all of that paper looks good and it seems to be solid, but we're living in a world where there are too many debts to be paid in full. And again, I've said it for years, I think they're going to lose at least 80% of the debts and maybe 90%. And if you're holding paper and we get to that moment and it seems like we're coming closer all the time, here we see commercial bankruptcies increasing significantly. You know, another sign, another leaf in the breeze that if you're in paper, you're in jeopardy and you might do well if you to get into something tangible. Put your wealth into something tangible. Right? The work, the energy, the intelligence, the effort, the luck that's gone, that's provided you with a certain amount of wealth over the years, it's going to disappear if you keep holding it in the form of paper. Almost certainly. I mean, some investments will undoubtedly do well. Some bonds may do well. But the vast majority, so far as I'm able to see, are going to disappear. And when they do, you have something you can hang on your wall. It's a nice souvenir. But it's not going to be worth whatever you put into it.
There's a restructuring company, Akin Gump, over there in Texas where you're at. Mm-hmm. They said that the U.S. oil industry is not even halfway through its wave of bankruptcies. Mm-hmm. And since 2014, they've pretty much erased over $1 trillion from the valuations of U.S. energy companies. And this mm-hmm. is according to the Dow Jones U.S. Mm-hmm. Oil and Gas Index. So we're only halfway through.
Yep.
So
got another trillion to go.
We haven't felt the impact yet from this. And although you read articles and commentary about saying, well, this crash in the oil industry, you know, it's not going to be the same as, you know, the housing and the financial busts back in 2007, 2009. However, if you look at the structure of our economy, and if you look at the structure of our finances, I would think that this continues through. Now, if they maintain these oil prices, it could change things a little bit. But I would think that it could view the trickle down and everything could be far, far worse than what 2007 and 2009 brought.
Well, for one thing, we're watching for ripples. It's not just a question of a particular company goes broke and that's a problem for the people who invested in that company and whatever. But there will be consequences. There will be ripple effects. These companies owe money to institutions and other corporations and lenders. And if the lenders lose enough money, they go out of business. The other institutions, they lose enough money because the oil people are going out of business. There can be a ripple effect. And we're not as strong. The economy is nowhere near as strong today as it was, say, in 2007.
Yeah.
We won't be able to absorb, depending, you know, if we get some serious ripples moving through the economy, we're not going to be able to absorb them as well as we did back 2007. All right, 2006, 2007, we're not going to be that strong. So, you know, it's just another one of these leaves in the breeze, talk about it all the time. It's simply another indicator that we're getting close to something, all right, that will be unpleasant. And the only way you're likely to get through it and keep your wealth is if you store that wealth in something tangible like gold or silver. You can do land, you can do tools, you can do guns, you can do bullets, you can do food, water. There's a bunch of things you can put it into, but if you want it liquid, where you can use it to purchase things, then you want gold or silver coins. That's what you really want on this thing. And even, you know, push comes to shove, bars, but you're not going to be selling gold or silver bars very easily out on the street. You're going to have to deal with professionals. Gold and silver coins, you can work those. There are people in your neighborhood who will buy them. They'll give you tangible things for tangible money. And
well, just like anything with any gold and silver product, there's a place, there's a purpose and a place in a portfolio, and you have to know what the product is, and that's what we do here at Discount Gold and Silver. We tell you what's the best product that'll fit your, that'll be suitable for you. Bars can be great if you're looking to buy a very large sum of money. You used to be able to buy bars of, you know, a few cents over spot. Well, that's not the case anymore. So you have to really view and weigh the benefits of buying a bar. Is there a benefit over a bar, over a coin? Usually it was savings. Now that savings really only applies to those who put large sums of money, you know, 500,000 plus. And then you get a significant savings. But if you're looking to buy 20 ounces, the savings that you get from a bar, it's just not enough to benefit a bar over a coin. So, I mean, this is how you have to view things when you're purchasing your gold and silver, just like Perth Mint certificates. Like, what's the point? You know, if you don't have that gold in your hand, you don't own it. You're still owning a certificate. And, you know, people think by owning mining shares, there's some good mining shares out there, but just because you own a mining share doesn't mean that you own gold. Just as you own a certificate, it doesn't mean that you own a gold. Because you have an account online that tells you that you can write a check or use a credit card against an amount that they tell you, that doesn't mean that you own gold. So, you know, the gold and silver market has become very confusing to a lot of people because these programs are not explained, they're not marketed, and they're not sold properly, and that's the problem. So if you have any questions on any of these programs, give us a call. You do need to own more than 5 or 10% of gold in your portfolio. If you only own 5%, what's the point? You know, somebody who has $500,000 and you're told to put 5% of it in physical gold, what's the point? And so, you know, you really have to be active and take a major role in positioning your portfolio. And you can't allow people to talk you into, you know, thinking that you have something when you really don't.
You know, when you talk about owning gold as opposed to owning a stock certificate, they're just another piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Every piece of paper that you can find that pretends to be money or currency or something of value like a stock bond, what you own is a debt instrument. You can either own gold or you can own paper, which is a debt. Insofar as I know, I don't know that there's any exception on that. Do you want to own debt? Do you want to own an asset? If you want to own an asset, get yourself some gold. If you're content to own paper debt, get yourself paper. But when it all blows up, you know,
just get it protected and protect it properly. That's the key thing, is getting it protected properly.
We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedars, Jeremiah Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Now, I just want to mention one more thing before we move on to the next comment. Are the precious metals IRAs? Again, you know, take physical delivery of your product. But for those of you who have IRAs, either the traditional or the Roth, we do have those available for you. I use a company that I've been using since day one. They've got a track record. Yes, your metal is stored at the Delaware Depository. And I've been getting calls on some of these other, I think there's a couple of firms. There's not many of them that do it, but there's a couple of firms who tell you that if you open up an LLC, you can take physical delivery of your IRA, precious metals, and, you know, everything is all fine and dandy. Well, I don't condone those types of IRAs. When you sign up for those IRAs with these gold dealers, you're looking at, you know, 7, 8, 10 pages of disclaimers. And if the IRS comes nosying around your IRA, is there anyone there that will support you as far as what you have done? I believe if you open up an LLC in your state, you still have to do your filings, your annual filings. You still have to do everything to make it a legitimate LLC. So I think it's a little bit more than, and it's probably a little more complicated than just saying, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to do the IRA, take physical delivery of my gold and so forth. Yes, I understand the risk. And if I thought this type of an IRA was beneficial and safe and secure, I would recommend it, but at this point in time, I would say no to taking physical delivery by opening up your own LLC for a precious metals IRA. It's the whole point of a precious metals IRA. You do want to do things by the book. I've seen people lose everything thinking that they were doing a legitimate tax write-off, and it comes to find out they weren't, and they end up losing everything or a lot of what they've worked so hard for. So I've seen it happen. I don't want it to happen to you. So be very careful. If you have any questions, give us a call here at Discount Gold and Silver. Tomorrow we're going to bring you some great pricing on some Mid-State 62 $20 St. Gaudens. I have some coming in tomorrow, and I want to take a peek at them first before we offer these specials on them, so make sure you tune in tomorrow. We'll have some Mid-State 62 St. Gaudens for you, specially priced.
Okay, we've got a caller, Jim from West Virginia. I'm trying to remember. Jim, have you ever called here before?
Oh, would I lie to you and say no? I tell jokes and truth. You get to figure out which. There are a couple of things about pieces of paper which are blatant. You forget to mention it because you assume everybody knows it. Let's say that you have $100,000 in a bank. Now, that is a promise to pay, but go try to get the cash.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You only get so many thousand at a time. So, once again, that's a promise to pay. Another thing about pieces of paper, which I was very disturbed to learn, I had some stock from individual companies, and I also had a stock account to make trading easier. You know, the different names. But for whatever reasons, I decided to ask some questions after somebody told me to ask questions. I said, when I buy stock, do you guys go out and buy the stock and like put it in a file cabinet? He said, yes. Well, then I've asked for some stock, the certificates, not just a statement. The dates don't match. Okay? So basically what I think they do is they go out and tell you you have the stock, and if you want it, that's when they go grab the certificates. I don't know, but that's what that reeks of.
I'll tell you what I've been told by people who might know what they're talking about. And they've explained to me that the certificates, the brokers, there's one certificate for the stocks. Who's got it is anybody's guess, but the brokers, it might be down, I don't know, remember the name, CDC or something like that. But the brokers are reportedly selling that stock certificate multiple times. It's possible that if you and I both invest in Melody, we all invested in General Motors. It might be that you and I and Melody would each have essentially a claim on a single stock certificate.
Yep.
They are moving these things around, even in the stock market, maybe not to the same extent, but something like we see in the gold markets, where there are something like 400 or 500 ounces of paper silver for every ounce of physical gold that they have in inventory.
Yep.
They have multiple claims, and it's part of the reason why, I mean, you got to be crazy or a riverboat gambler to purchase stock. If that's a true story, and I believe it is, you're going to be crazy. Why do I want to buy a piece of paper that gives me a claim? I mean, good God, there could be 5-10 other people who had a claim on the same shares of stock. Who's going to get them?
So, well, the story goes a little bit more. So I was talking to the stockbroker, asking a friend of the family, supposedly, after I was told to ask the questions. And I said, when you make stock recommendations, is this basically because you think it's a good buy, or is it something which the company owns and they're trying to get rid of? He said, we always take the customer in first place. I later found out for sure by doing a little bit of research that time and time again, the stocks that they push are the ones they want to dump that they bought.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't think these people will do it, mm-hmm. Look at who is a big stockbroker, Wachovia Bank.
Yeah.
Perfectly honest people. So
on
if
occasion.
You got these, huh?
On occasion.
Yeah. So, folks, there's more risk to paper than you think.
Yeah.
If you buy the lies. I'm just going to leave it at that. So, yeah, watch the paper, folks, or watch it go up in smoke. And what most worries me about the recovery is the fact we won't have enough capital.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah,
we wipe out the debt. We wipe out a correlative amount of capital.
Right.
I mean, it would be in the Bible. I've talked about this once or twice in the past, but in the Bible they have a jubilee every 50 years.
Yep.
Where they wipe out all the debt in the Old Testament. All the debt is canceled, right? Does it destroy
yep.
the local economy? It does not, because back then all of the debt was in some tangible form. It might be cattle, it might be ounces of silver, it might be ounces of gold. But the point is, I might borrow 20 ounces of gold from Jim in the Old Testament.
and the 50-year mark rolls around and it cancels the debt, and I don't owe that 50 ounces or 20 ounces of gold to Jim anymore. Okay? Jim is out, all right? That's a problem for Jim. He's not going to like it, but it prevents him from becoming an oligarch also. Jim loses it, but the 20 ounces of gold are still there in the local economy. I have them, or maybe I gave them to somebody else, or somebody in the economy's got them. But when we have a debt-based monetary system, if we wipe out the debt and say, oops, we can't, somebody says, golly, I can't pay the debt, we destroy the correlative paper debt instrument. It's different than if you have gold and silver, because the debt gets wiped out, the correlative asset gets wiped out too. In the Old Testament, yeah, you wipe out the debt, but the asset is still there. This is why we can't have a jubilee in this system. In fact, this is probably part of the reason why the government is tightened up on bankruptcy laws. They can't let you. It's like Greece. We can't let Greece declare it's not going to pay the debt. We can't have them go bankrupt because they wipe out assets. They don't just wipe out their debt. They wipe out their assets, which is part of the consequence of using this paper-based money system. Anything else,
just
Jim?
Just to top it off and put a cherry on top of it. It used to be that if an accounting firm signed their John Henry on a report, you could basically take it to the bank.
Yeah.
Starting sometime in the 80s, my dad picked up on it before I really believed it. Once again, a lot of times people tell me this stuff, I think, what? They wouldn't do that. Well, guess what? I was wrong again.
Yeah.
But yeah, look at the Enron situation. That let it be known to the whole world that that accounting firm lied their little backsides off to cover it. So, folks, Wall Street, the accounting firms, everybody. It used to be if you were an accountant, a CPA, and you did something like that, they would grab you and hang you by whatever they got hold of first. But that is no longer the case. I don't know of one case at this point that I've heard of recently where an accounting firm went to jail for fraud. So all of Wall Street is infested with every kind of criminal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm completely convinced that the LG jerks on Wall Street have dirt on somebody else, and the government won't do a dang thing about it. So if you're in paper, you're beyond stupid, okay? Catch you later.
All right, Jim, thank you. Well, Jim is right. We've been warning people about this and trying to make it as clear as we can. If you're keeping your wealth in paper, you're in great jeopardy. And, you can't have a jubilee. Again, they've even tightened up on the bankruptcy laws. It's like Greece to some extent. Greece will not be allowed. The most sensible thing for Greece to do is simply file for bankruptcy. It can't pay the existing debt. All right? That's the most sensible thing to do. But if Greece files for bankruptcy, they lose another fat chunk of the debt, disappears, and the correlative assets get destroyed. And there's what they're trying to avoid. If enough people go into bankruptcy, this whole system collapses. We have a debt-based monetary system. As long as debt has become in this irrational world, it has become a primary form of wealth. Debt. It's crazy. It's irrational. And yet that's the way it is. Therefore, they can't let you cancel your debt, even if you can only make a monthly payment. Pay a little bit. It's okay. As long as you're paying something on the debt, many of these debts can continue to limp along as if they are still performing. They are still valuable. If you're making a $5 a month payment on a $100,000 debt, the debt instrument itself can still be, they can pretend that this thing is still worth $100,000. As long as somebody's paying something. But if you file for bankruptcy and say, that's it, I'm not paying anymore, then that $100,000 piece of paper gets wiped out. And the problem becomes, in many instances, it becomes more serious because we have fractional reserve banking that allows banks to lend out 9 times as much currency as they have in their vault, as they have assets in their vault.
They take your $100,000 note that you say, ha-ha, I'm a rich guy. I got a piece of paper here. It says $100,000. You use it for collateral, or the bank buys it. They're storing it in the vault. They loan out $900,000 based on the $100,000 note. In theory, they can. In theory, that's what they can do under fractional reserve banking. If that note, the guy who's paid, who signed the note, said, "Yeah, I'll pay back $100,000 plus interest," if he can't make good on the note, that note disappears, and so does the basis for perhaps $900,000 that's been loaned out into the general population to buy flat screen TVs and whatever. It is a giant pyramid scheme. And there is enormous leverage. It's a brilliant system while you're going up. All right? You put $1 in the bank, they can lend out $9. I mean, it's like finding the money tree. But when the system begins to go down, that same leverage that worked for you now works against you. You lose $1 and you wind up causing the loss of $9 more out of the economy. And there's the danger to all this. It's part of the reason why the whole system has become irrational. It's not just hard to understand because we're not bright enough to understand it. It's hard to understand because it is irrational. And we've been taught, nevertheless, oh, this makes sense. We will treat a debt as if it's an asset. We will issue a currency where the people who issue the currency don't ever have to redeem their own notes. We'll rely on the public to redeem the Federal Reserve notes rather than the Federal Reserve Bank. Whole thing is crazy, it's irrational, worked great on the way up, but it's going to work terribly on the way back down. What have we got, Melody, 30 seconds left?
Yes, we do.
Is there something you'd like to add?
No, I just want to remind the folks to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. It's interesting that earlier I wanted to talk about, but we're out of time, is about the Philippines. They're looking to, they're having elections over there. And it's just kind of interesting to see all these different politicians coming up, in front of the public and beating all kinds of status quo politicians.
Well, everybody knows The system is on the verge of failure.
This guy's a little wacky.
There's space for alternative politicians. There's space for crazy politicians. This is the kind of that's what happens when the world becomes unstable.
Yeah.
We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.